Is that what blessing is? Viganio? Why don't we start this Sabbath with prayer? Or this service, anyway. I know you prayed earlier. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with your presence once again on this Sabbath day. Thank you for all that we have experienced the last 7 days, even the trials, because you grant it with the smiles. Thank you for blessing us each and every day as well to find more truth in your word and share our faith with others, even if it's just a smile when they expect a frown. Thank you for blessing all those that are on our prayer list, as we have many, Father, that are in need of spiritual as well as physical healings. But we're mostly concerned with their spiritual healings, Father, because in your kingdom, there's no need for the physical healings. And so please bless all those that are in need of salvation with as many opportunities as possible so that they can be part of the eternal family. Thank you for forgiveness, cleansing us and blessing us. And if we are so worthy, with the latter rain that's already started drizzling, thank you for giving us eyes that see so that we can understand the days we are living in, the final days, and for giving us opportunities to warn as many as you send our way, with love, of course. And thank you also for blessing us with more love in our hearts for you and for those you send. So please bless us on this Sabbath day, Father, with the changing of the showbread as you promise. And please accept this prayer in the name of your precious Son. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Yeah, you might notice there's a couple of changes to the chat room. I put the icons back up because we got a little bit better bandwidth situation going, obviously. But just so everybody knows, I'll probably repeat this announcement later. I don't know what's going on with the emails, but it is on my end. Well, it's not on my end here in the house because my email server is solid. It's the people that give me the bandwidth, and they didn't call me back, so I'm probably going to have to wait until after their holidays here, you know. And so I can receive your emails, but more than 50% of the time now I can't respond. I mean, I can respond. I send it, but it just bounces. You never get it. And so, but some of them are your fault as well, because some people changed their email address and didn't tell me, but that's no big deal. That's not a problem, you know. And so, but yeah, I wouldn't say that's your fault. It's just, you know, people forget. No big deal. And that comes with the sending out the mass emails every week, you know, through the server. And what the server does is when they bounce, it was the way they were setting it up on their end, because I do it the same way every time with my end. After so many bounces, they stop alerting me. And so I changed it, and boy, was that a mistake, because I had no idea. We had, you know, nearly 1,000 people on the register list, and I hadn't cleaned it up. Years ago, I pulled 500 or so off. I can't remember. So the other day, spent a few hours, and I yanked a little over 700 people off the chat room register because, you know, I think it was 2 years ago, as a matter of fact, yeah, because I went back to, no, three. I went back 3 years, and anybody that was 3 years old, or, you know, anybody that was 6 months to 3 years old that had not come in the chat room, I just deleted them. And then there was a bunch that had emails like Gmail, AOL, and stuff like that that are bouncing. I changed the way your email address is treated on the server. It's not going to affect you in any way. It's just you'll never get an email until I get this issue fixed. And so please be patient. It might take a week because they're actually targeting the DNS servers. And how they're doing that is beyond me, but I could put a whole stack of DNS servers in my email server. And I don't know, but now I'm dealing with it. So please keep in your prayers. Anyway, we're on question number 13. Of the last book of the studies. And so far, as I'm understanding it, I'm thinking the next study we're going to be doing is going to be all about the sanctuary. I think that's where our Father's leading me. And so, but boy, that's gonna take years. Well, then this one took years, so whatever. But that one, I mean, I've already I'd say maybe a fifth through it, personally. And that took me a few months just to get there. So, but anyway, we're on question 13 now, last book of the Last Day Events kind of study, or Last Day's Study, I think it's called. I can't remember. But 13 says, if we have been baptized into Christ, then we become baptized into what? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 is the answer. And thank you, Brother Gorin, for putting it in the room. And it's, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, how many of us have heard people, over the years, I'm sure many of us have, but have heard people that declare they were baptized into this church or that church or whatever, Now, don't judge them unworthy, because we got to have that Christ-like love, because if we didn't have the understanding, we would have thought the same thing, too, And no question is considered stupid. I don't care if you're 110 years old. If you never asked a question before, you don't know the answer. So it's not about age either. And that's why a lot of us, like myself included, when I was a little kid, we're question monsters. That's constantly all day. Why this? Why that? Why? And you can literally ask why to every statement someone says to you. So again, if they don't understand, if they say, instead of saying they were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or whatever, they say, I was baptized into this church, that church, or whatever. And so don't judge them unworthy. Don't get upset, because they simply may not know how to explain it all, too, if you think about it. But the basic reality in this is that we are all baptized into the same Holy Spirit of truth. And this is why some do mention the denomination, because as it is also saying in this passage that we are baptized into one body. That body being, of course, the body of believers. And the reason the denomination is often mentioned is because, as those of you that have been baptized recently know, some churches, and we are not an exception here at all in this, to be considered an exception, but like some churches, you'll not find a single, at least I know I won't do it, but you'll not find a single Seventh-day Remnant pastor that will baptize anyone who does not agree 100% with what this entire church body already agrees to as our doctrinal stand. And this is one of the reasons. As a matter of fact, the studies we're going through now, and this is the last one again, as I say, out of 33 studies, I think it is, this is the baptism study. But if you go to the baptism study page for those people that are seeking baptism, you notice there's a bunch of them that are yellowed out. And the reason for that is because a lot of people are in a hurry sometimes, because, especially in regards to our locations. Some people, like I think we're baptizing somebody or some people in a few months in Africa. And so it's not easy, sometimes to get to these places. And so if they can't get all 33 lessons done, they have to at least do the yellow ones with a promise that they will do the rest, but that's in extenuating circumstances. Most people get them all done. I got them all done in 1 week. When I first came into this truth, I was seeking re-baptism, I don't consider baptism in the Catholic Church baptism at all. I had left the Catholic Church many years prior, and I was fully immersed in a non-denominational, well, that's what they call themselves, but they were actually Pentecostal, but I was fully immersed in a non-denominational church, in their type of baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But then years later, when I found out about the Sabbath, I wanted to get rebaptized, and so I contacted a few Seventh-day Adventist ministers, because I had no clue as to the corruption that was apparent. I didn't even look into Matthew 20 or 12 or Revelation 12, 17 yet. I was still, and I still to this day do, expose the main character of Antichrist in Rome. But when that little demon starts popping his head up in other places, well, yeah, it's obvious. But I don't, there's no need to deal with it with the Sunday keepers, because You know, but when it shows up in the SDA church, which is a prophesied ninth hour church, blessed of God, well, then you gotta warn the people. And so I asked these preachers, and three of them promised to do it. One of them actually gave me the studies and say, when you get done with these studies, I'll baptize you. And I guess he expected I'd take 3 or 4 months. And so 6, 7 days later, I contacted him and said, okay, I'm done. And his first words are, you're kidding me. I says, no, they're all done. You know, I mailed them to you. All 33 are done. Well, he never baptized me. But I did eventually get rebaptized in the YMCA in Lafayette, in fact, in a swimming pool. Me and Fran, we both got rebaptized that day. But now, yes, we are fully aware it is, you know, baptism is all about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that we stand as one. But just as we call ourselves SDR, so as to make it easier to answer the question regarding what we believe, because I can remember when we didn't carry the title or the name, if you will, or the banner, when people would ask me, you know, the denomination, I said, oh, yeah, well, we're kind of like SDA, but we're not, because this, you know, it could go into a 30-second dissertation as to who we are. I says, now I just say SDR. And because it's gone global, yeah, now it's easy to just say SDR. A lot of people know who we are. And so praise God for that, too. But those truths we agree upon are all from Jesus Christ. And so we truly are one body, and to baptize someone in a willy-nilly fashion, as many churches do, well, that's wrong to do. Because I used to do work for some Baptist ministries after I left the Catholic Church, and I was still a Sunday keeper. And the salvation thing, the sinner's prayer thing, and the way they would baptize people, I thought, no. Even then, I thought, there's something wrong here. Because I was the guy that made the software that logged everything into DBase, I think it was 3.0 at the time, and so all the preachers from the country that were connected with Freedom Flyer, still to this day it's a tongue twister, but Freedom Flyer Prison Ministries, the recidivism type guys where they, and I was actually working what they were doing, because with the recidivism rate, well, in other words, what recidivism means, it's like 100 guys leave prison, 80 come back. It was like 80%. Well, under Freedom Flyer, it was flip-flopped. 20% came back. 80% stayed out, you know, because of the Christian work that we were doing. All these preachers would call and say, yeah, I talked to 50 guys today. 50 guys accepted Jesus as Savior. So I had a log how many people got saved under that pastor or preacher. And they would call me all throughout the week and do this, right? But this one guy would call and say, yeah, sometimes he literally visit. Because he was from the area, and so he would go to Cook County, he'd go to Statesville, whatever. He would come in and says, yeah, I was only able to talk to 25, 30 guys, and I only got 3 to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And him and I were friends. I mean, this guy, I think the Lord connected us because of the way he was, you know, there was no willy-nilly fashion in the way he did it. He didn't just say, repeat after me. He would explain the sinner's prayer. He would explain what salvation meant. He wouldn't go next, you know, and people stand in line. No, that's not salvation. Just saying the sinner's prayer. You see those panic buttons with the red, and then you push the button. It's not like that where you just push a button, say a prayer, and boom, you're going to heaven. No, that's not how it works. But that's how a lot of the Baptist preachers are. And so, but again, that's wrong to do. In fact, I learned my lesson the hard way many years ago when I was pressured relentlessly by a man I knew some years ago, and some of you know who I'm talking about, so I'm not mentioning any names, who was outside the faith yet claimed to be in the faith. This man insisted he was in agreement with the body of believers but didn't want to do the Bible study so I can verify where he stood in the Lord before baptizing him. After many requests, and I mean many, this guy was relentless, I foolishly agreed. This is very early on in the years of keeping Sabbath, but I foolishly agreed to baptize him, but only if he promised to do the studies afterwards, and he promised before witnesses, many witnesses, in fact, because we baptized a mess of people that day. Here at the house, in fact, we baptized him. And He agreed, and he promised before many witnesses, and so I baptized him. But within a very short time, I discovered that he never had any plans to do the studies as promised, and because of his strange spirit, he was also lured off by the devil to embrace many false doctrines designed to destroy the soul, and he, of course, attacked us. But and so I, you know, we have to be very careful here. This poor soul even went so far as to try and move some of the church family to follow his lead, but his efforts fell on deaf ears because we are actually of one body, and this is one of the beauties of walking with Christ. And we will hold our faith up as a banner and have no issue with standing firm. And so praise God for that. And so we see God's hand in action even here. Just as a foreign body in the human system is rejected by everything from the immune system to red and white blood cells, a foreign Christian in error cannot gain entrance into the body of true believers in this church. It just can't be done. I mean, they can come in for a while, but eventually their fruits are going to be known. Eventually you're going to know who they are, you know. If you notice, in every case, the efforts of the foreigner will only be successful when that which we as a body of believers adheres to it. They somehow get compromised by the soul of the foreigner who approaches them, and then they also would leave the number. And yes, that's just as Korah and his followers were swallowed up, you know, the ones that were swallowed up by the world after trying to force Moses to water down the truth, so were those that do the same all throughout history of the obedient body of Christ. It's just a normal happenstance. I mean, it's just something that it's the norm for Christianity. It's what we all deal with. And this is the way the security is set up, the way it is here in a chat room. Because the way some, we've been doing this for years. We were the first ones, praise God, He revealed to us to do this online many years ago. And so we kind of know what to expect. And I don't like the word troll, but that's a pretty good definition of how some people are that will try to come here. And so again, so as to prevent any problems in the church, the Lord set up a perfect process for baptism so as to assure when the public profession of faith is done, it is done. So the letter of the written will of our God, as we know Him being the bride, He has promised to bless. And therefore, the one being baptized can rest assured that by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. And we have all been made to drink into the one Spirit. And so praise God for that. So baptism is an amazing thing, and it can't be taken lightly, if you will. And another aspect of the studies, too, is to make sure that, the understanding of the dress reform, alcohol, tobacco, unclean meats, there's all sorts of things that are involved. It's not just the last day studies, too. Question number 14, whose body do we become a part of, is the question. All right? And again, this is a baptism study. Now, granted, I go a little bit more detail than because this is actually an open book study. The way it's designed is the question is asked, and then the Bible verse is given, just the location. And then you have to do the Bible surfing and then find the answer. And so the answer is found in Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. Look at that. I forgot about that, Brother Dwayne. Yeah, he got them done in 2 weeks. Yeah, all 33 of them. So anyway, okay, here's verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and, like fingers, toes, all that stuff, and all members have not the same office, because you're not going to use your toe for what your finger's going to do, right? And so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member is one of a number. One of another. One of the blessings, I got to tell you, being in the true Christian church is how it's structured. Because this is something I noticed with all the other churches. They have their presidents, their popes, and their first of equals. I think that's what they call them in the Orthodox faith. And then, Mahdi, I think the Muslims call him Mahdi. Who's the main? I can't remember who the main guy is. But yeah, we have Jesus Christ, okay? We have a small church council that meets on occasion, and, that's growing too, praise God. But the thing is, we do have a small church council. We meet on occasion, but Jesus has the last say in all of it. Absolutely all of it. We don't even, discuss, It's a whatever thus saith the Lord is what guides our council meetings. And so with Christ at the head of the the body and not the Pope or a president or a first of equals, as some religions claim. We know that when standing in this church, as it is designed by Christ, we do so without causing any issues between each other. And it makes it that much easier for when we get on our knees, knowing that our Father hears our prayers, because he doesn't have issue with the way we are. He knows that we're doing the best we can, and we run with the understanding and the truth. I mean, for example, in the Catholic Church or any other church that has a supposed head of the church outside of Christ, like a pope or a president, such a church is structured in a way that demands the people bow to the leaders, no matter how off track they may be. And this is why you see what's going on with this strange spirit in the churches out there. And I'm not, you know, and I'm not really concerned with this. Like I always say, I'm not really concerned with the Sunday keepers, other than, of course, we evangelize them and try our best to reveal to them they got to, you know, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, even though a lot of them don't understand what that means. And because by their fruits, and the fruits being when you accept Jesus truly as Savior, you start keeping his law. And so, but again, but by the grace of God, there go I. So the Lord's going to have mercy on them. But eventually they're going to have to make that final decision as to the truth we reveal to them. And so praise God that we have that opportunity. But what I see going on in the ninth hour church today is the exact same thing we saw going on in the early church that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 20, verses 1 to 7. The early church, of course, being the Jews, early in the morning. Then you have the third hour, which is the Christians. Then you got the sixth hour with Martin Luther. And then the ninth hour is the SDAs, and the 11th hour is us. And so we see the exact same spirit in the ninth hour that the third hour saw in the early church, which was, don't leave the church. Stay with the ship or stay in the synagogue. Don't follow that guy calling himself Messiah. Don't follow Jesus. Because, and this is one of the reasons I get, you know, the problems with the videos. Like the video I'm putting up tonight or tomorrow morning, it's really going to, I'm going to lose subscribers. But then that's, you know, I can't help it. I got to do what I'm called to do. Because it's more or less my blog entry for yesterday. I believe every Seventh-day Adventist pastor needs to step down and repent because of what happened yesterday. Trump signed that law. And so, and I literally put sections of the law where it says the pastors can now lobby religious law. I put it on screen, and I also have a statement from a senator from Oklahoma. I can't remember his name, but his picture and his name and all that's going to be in the video, where he literally says, yeah, pastors can lobby Congress and their local officials. And so all these SDA pastors, they all got to step down. As for the Sunday keeping pastors that also had the 501c3, they should have stepped down eons ago, even before they got the 501c3. And so this is why we're structured the way we are, without a pope or a president. We allow Christ to run the church, and that way we won't go off track, because the people, like they did 2,000 years ago, oh, they're going to trust the rabbis because these guys invented the cloth. They're the ones that have been teaching and preaching. Who's this upstart named Jesus, you know? Or who's these upstarts, you know, in the 11th hour that are going out and proclaiming the present truth? And why should they get all the blessings when we've been doing the work all day long? Well, again, look at what happens when they start getting their pay in Matthew 20. So in the Catholic Church, all the Catholics must agree with the Pope. So and no matter what he says, and how they even in how they read their own Bibles, you know, like a video I did, I think, on Wednesday, where he wants to change what they call the Lord's Prayer, even though it's not a prayer. It's literally an outline for prayer, and John chapter 17 proves it, because John chapter 17 is a prayer Jesus uses or says in Gethsemane using that outline. And so, but again, my key for the video was that, as well as the other thing where he uplifts Satan and calls Jesus a failure. But he literally wants to change the Bible again, like we haven't had enough of that. And we look at the NIV, the NASB, with the thousands of verses missing. But again, it's the last days. That defiled bread prophecy is fulfilled in our day just as it was back then. And so this is like, you know, the way the church is with the papal infallibility in the ecclesiastical things, where he says popes are infallible. And so whatever he says, you got to believe no matter if your Bible says otherwise. That's what led me to seek the meaning with my Monsignor in the Catholic Church 30-plus years ago after reading the Bible for about a year, 18 months I think it was. And I had some questions. And so I was wondering, why is the Church demanding all sorts of strange things from the people, but the Bible never did any of that, and in many cases, some of the traditions of the Church are directly against the written Word of God, and that's where I hung my hat. I mean, that's where I based it. I says, look, I had like 20, 23 questions or something like that, and we all know. I've shared this so many times, I'm not going to repeat it, but we all know what happened that day, and that's why I left the Church. But this is true in the SDA Church as well, and even all the churches now that have to stand politically correct thanks to the 501c3 contract. They can't even get out of it. They claim they can get out of it, but they can't. In other words, the SDA Church, since the Ecumenical Charge of Rome demands all-inclusiveness of all religions, no matter how outside the scriptures they preach, the SDA leaders have to declare that Allah is God. Women can be ordained, Sunday is Sabbath, or it's acceptable. Homosexuality is even acceptable, even though they declare it as sinful. And yeah, I lost subscribers on that video I did last week, I think, or this week, where I showed that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is, in fact, sending the people's tithings to the World Council of Churches, or, to put it bluntly, the Pope. And we got documentation. It's on SDA Apostasy. That documentation's been on there for ever since I started the site. A lot of people don't know it's there, though. Just like when I was a Catholic, I didn't know that stuff was out there until I opened those books up. But so even though they declare it sinful, you know, the SDAs, all this stuff, you know, the homosexuality and the Sunday Sabbath, even though they declare it sinful, it has to be accepted in the church as an alternate lifestyle as long as those in the alternate so-called lifestyle remain celibate, which, oh, it's never going to happen. It's just a fix-all. It's just a Band-Aid on a boil that's festering. I mean, it's just not doing anything. And so it begs the question as to what happens then if those homosexuals want to get married? Because now you've already opened the door. You already said that, you know, if they remain celibate, if they don't act on it, well, now homosexual marriage is legal. I mean, celibacy is only used as the excuse to allow the leaders to turn a blind eye to what they know their homosexual members are doing anyway. But even if they aren't doing awful acts when alone, when they decide to get married, for the SDA Church to refuse them that option, their 501c3 will be in danger. And so since they bowed to every other demand, from Sunday keeping to embracing Allah, can expect that you're going to see homosexual marriage in the SDA Church, especially since Proposition H, and we got that video on SDA Apostasy where they're actually saying, helping the homosexuals. During the Loma Linda pastor got up and proclaimed they should be married. So, but in the SDR Church, wherein we have no 501c3, crippling our stand or our sermons or our message, we can do as the Lord would have us do, because we don't have a president or a pope. It's Jesus that's guiding us, right? And so we do just as his word outlines the church has always done. And this is why the blessings keep coming. And so when a child of God that is a member of the church notices something that they believe needs to be addressed, they can and have in the past approached the church council or me or Craig or somebody else, because we got other guys that don't speak our language. But they approach us to, now some don't do it right, like we've had attacks in the past where they claim something, you know, like especially in regards to that the Ark of the Covenant thing. But you got to approach the church. You got to do it biblically. Biblical jurisprudence has to be here. You know, you bring it to the church council. If we find that, yeah, it matches. Isaiah 8:20, it's a law and testimony. It matches. Oh, yeah, okay, fine. We've got new light. And it doesn't contradict old light. But if it does contradict old light, like Sunday keeping or seven-year trib or any of these other strange things that are out there, then, yeah, we put it down and say no. But the Word of God has the final say. Not some pope, not some president, not me, not Craig, nobody. Just the Word of God. Because that prevents me from having problems and Craig from having problems and those other pastors from having problems. I like having my prayers answered, you know, and so I'm not going to mess that up there either. And so in that way, even if a member of the body sees themselves as a small piece of the body, like a toenail, let's say, they have just as much of an opportunity to have their voice heard as another member of the body of Christ in this church. We're not going to look down on you because you think you're a toenail, even though you're not, you know. But you might be. We don't know. We'll find out when we get home. And then it doesn't even matter. You can have 20 stars on your crown. You can have one. All that matters is Jesus asked you to do one thing. You did it, and you're home. Jesus asked you to do 12 things. You did it, and you're home. It doesn't matter how many things you did. It just matters that you obeyed him. He didn't come and ask you a second or third time. Whoop-de-doo. It doesn't matter. There is no thing up in heaven that says, oh, look, I got 12 stars. You only got 3. No. It's just like down here, even in the military. The general might ask this one guy to do 10 things, and he'll only ask the other guy to do 2 things. The fact is the matter. The general asked him, and they obeyed, and they did it. I mean, after all, because we are in a holy war, are we not? And isn't that written in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27? Check this out. And if you want to put it in the Roman, it might take a while, but I'll finish with this. I'm just going to read this top to bottom because we're running a little over. Besides, I mean, today's sermon's only going to be 20, 25 minutes because it's just finishing the other part of last week's sermon. But I didn't want to add to it because then we'd be way over an hour. So, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27, it says this. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all made drink into the one Spirit. Now that we already read, right? Going on. For the body is not one member, but many. In other words, you know, like I could be a highfalutin pastor and claim that the Seventh-day Remnant Church is my head. That's all. You know, like Nebuchadnezzar, looking at the dream, and Daniel told him, you know, you are the golden. Boom, the whole body's gold all of a sudden. Like he's all that for all eternity. No, that's not. Jesus is all that. He's the body. We're just taking. He's just giving us bits and pieces in the body and the things to do. So for the body is not one member but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Yeah, common sense. It's still part of the body, right? And you can't work without that hand. You can't work without that foot. And so, again, don't think, you know, just because you're not a pastor or you're not an elder or a deacon or whatever the case may be, or an evangelist or even hitting the street on a regular basis, there's things you're doing that Christ needs you to do. That's one of the things I remember when I was a young Christian. I said, Father God, I'll sweep the bathroom floor. I'll clean the toilets in the church. But before I was a Christian, I was literally asked to clean toilets. I got this new job, and I quit. I wasn't going to do that. It's beneath me. I got skills. And so, but I also had a wife and kids like an idiot and, you know, didn't, you know, so I had to go out and look for another job. So, but Christ changes you, you know. And so going on, it says, and if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased them. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee, or of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, like I was talking about the toenail, they are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And that's speaking of us, because Christ is the head of our church. Well, pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.